Are you tired? Are you frequently in a state of fatigue? It might surprise you to learn that your cellular health begins to decline as early as 25 years of age. As you age, your cell membranes start to become like Swiss cheese. This cellular damage is the primary cause of biological aging. It could be the root of your fatigue. But there's a breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. NT-Factor Lipids. NT-Factor lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. NT-Factor is the only solution proven and published in medical journals to repair those dead spots in the membranes. If you're older, it can give you back the vitality, focus, and cognitive function of people half your age. And if you're young, this is the tool to optimize your energy production. I've been using NT-Factor for years and prescribe it for my patients. Learn more about the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly rundown of questions that you can send to questions@drhoffman.net. And we have a good time because, well, we never know what we're going to encounter. And so it's an opportunity for you to learn a wide range of topics. It's an opportunity for me to have a great conversation with my good colleague, nutritionist Layla Mutin. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. It's warm, but hey. It's summer. How are you?
It's summer.
I'm not complaining.
It's summer.
I'm not complaining.
It's summer. It's those dog days of summer. Tiding us over. The Olympics. And yeah, you know, the Olympics are controversial. It was kind of a mixed bag of that show that was a little weird, you know, but hey, it's France. They're French. And, you know, so some people offended by some of the imagery. In the opening ceremonies, but the open ceremonies are quite interesting opening ceremonies. And, I think the least controversial aspect of the opening ceremonies was the performance by Celine Dion, who's been diagnosed with a condition called stiff person syndrome, which is a progressive neurologic condition. She actually was forced to give up her residency in Las Vegas, where she'd performed for many years. Because of this progressive neurological disease. It's a very rare disease. And I have to say, I don't even think I studied it in medical school or encountered it during my training in internal medicine. It's a condition where the muscles progressively stiffen. And I imagine that would affect the vocal apparatus. She did a beautiful, heart-rending rendition of an Edith Piaf song. And for those of you know who Edith Piaf is, she's like the national singer of France.
Yeah.
She is famous for La Vie en Rose, you know, which is almost like the second national anthem of France. And this is a beautiful song that she sang with amazing vocalization and amazing expression. And it was, I think, an emotional moment for virtually anyone with a heart who was watching the Olympics. Then there was, not unexpected, the cancellation of the triathlon swim in the Seine. I personally would not have relished that experience to jump into a river, which since the time of the Romans has been a dumping ground for the city of Paris and continues to have high levels of pollution. They had hoped to save the day by, they spent, I think, $1.5 billion for a system to clean up the Seine and catch runoff from the land and the sewer systems. But it had rained a lot before the event. And so the E. coli came in the water. So they moved the event to someplace else, which is, you know, eminently sensible.
Sure.
Also, an exciting moment as Simone Biles led the U.S. Women's team to gold in gymnastics. And it's incredible because she is, I guess, 27. And she actually didn't retire permanently, but she took a hiatus from the sport because she was experiencing the effects of stress which is totally understandable because of the amount of stress that's put on these young women, some of them who are teenagers, is enormous to perform. And the event is a little sad because each performer is performing at such a high level.
Yeah.
And yet the slightest flaw is a demerit, you know,
it's punishing.
I think it's something that is very hard to cope with psychologically, especially for a perfectionistic athlete, is that it has to be absolutely flawless to win. And in some ways, very undemocratic because, you know, a lot of us who do sports, you know, like when you do yoga, is it like a performance where you're going to get a 9.9 out of 10 on the scoring at the Yoga Olympics, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lucky if I can, you know, touch my toes.
Well, me too, actually, you know, and doing yoga is not anything about judgment.
Yep. Yep.
It's you are where you are.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the nice forgiving thing about yoga is that yoga is not about, it's not competitive.
No.
And it is about, you know, achieving inner peace and balance and so on. But anyway, so exciting that the U.S. team won there. Also the men's gymnastic team, they were ecstatic because they won bronze, which is third place. But for, I think, 24 years, they've been shut out of the gymnastics. They've been outperformed by China, Japan, Brazil, presumably Russia, although Russia's not competing this year. So, you know, it's inspiring to see the athletes. And there's a little bit of something for everyone. It's like a 20 ring circus. If you get a subscription to Peacock, you can watch obscure events like break dancing or, shooting. There's all kinds of shooting events.
I can watch those things on Peacock. Okay.
I mean, if you've already got a subscription, you can watch the break dancing, you know.
Right.
So, I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. I can't boycott it because of some objections to the format of the introductory ceremonies. I think it's been a little divisive, unfortunately, and has cast a little bit of a pall on the Olympics overall, because the Olympics are really about unity and, you know, that whole thing. So,
games begin. Yeah.
Other than that, that's been sort of what I've been doing in my recreational time. Trying to squeeze as much out of the summer as I can. I've been cycling and doing running and, continuing with some strength training and just, you know, trying to maintain, muscle volume and fend off sarcopenia.
There you go. And I can't believe it's August already, but as usual, summer just flies by.
I'm sorry?
Summer always just flies by. I can't believe it's August already.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It does fly. I have to say that I'm afflicted a little bit with, because I've had such a long, there's so much training involved in becoming a doctor that I have that kind of academic calendar emblazoned in my chronobiology, which is in August, I already kind of get apprehensive. Like, is it time to go to the school supply store to buy some notebook and some yellow markers and, you know, whatever, get my new Texas Instrument calculator so I can pass chemistry and organic, and all that kind of stuff that we did in school. It's still, you know, as the days shorten, as the summer ends, my pulse quickens a little bit, almost in anticipation of the school year.
Right. You can remind yourself you're done. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Been there, done. Yeah. It's nice. So let us get to questions. Questions can come to questions@drhoffman.net.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get to questions, though, allow one of our sponsors to share an important message with you. So listen up, here goes.
As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements for digestive support, handle tougher digestive problems, and larger, more complex meals with GI Guard AM, enzymes HCL, oregano oil, and peppermint oil, GI. This premium collection may help to maintain the integrity of your stomach lining and promote gastric comfort, help reduce occasional bloating, indigestion, heartburn, gas, and other normal diet-related digestive disturbances, as well as maintain healthy intestinal flora balance. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to today's edition of Q&A with Layla.
We got a question from Jerry. I'm a 65-year-old female. I just had my blood test completed and my B12 was 1,833. I went off my B12 supplement last year because my B12 was 1,949. My current multivitamin has 500 micrograms of B12. Should I be concerned about my B12 being so high? And Jerry has a second question.
Okay, so hold on. So once and for all, one final time, maybe we'll answer this question again in 5 years, because all too often we get this question.
Yeah.
Is my B12 is high, so I stopped taking B12. Well, if you take any kind of B12 supplement, even a multi that is a fairly potent multi, and or a B complex, your B12 will be high.
Yes.
Warren Buffett's net worth is high, abnormally high. Is that bad? No. So there's almost no downside to elevated B12.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be high. I rarely check it in people who are supplementing, but you know, sometimes even people who are supplementing, we do see an inability to absorb B12. So I guess it's worthwhile doing it, you know, once in a while, but it's going to be high. It's going to be the same thing with B6. The variation on this question is my B6 is high. Well, if you take any kind of B complex, your B6 is going to be high. Doctors freak out. They say, oh my goodness, your B12 is high, your B6 is high. They don't understand that that is not a sign of toxicity. On the other hand, if you have a very high vitamin D, well, you're courting the potential for toxicity. We think the cutoff is about 100, although many people have scores above 100, and we just admonish them. Maybe you could go a little easier on your vitamin D. They do not come to harm.
Yeah.
But theoretically, it increases the risk for kidney stones and other problems. Mm-hmm. So can we move on from that question?
Yeah, we can move on. Jerry has another question.
In 2024. Okay.
Right. Jerry says, also, my calcium blood test was low, an 8.4. My vitamin D was 62. Mm-hmm. I do have osteoporosis. I do eat a calcium-rich diet. Should I be concerned about my low calcium number?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when you look at calcium, you always have to look at it in relationship to albumin.
Yes.
And so when albumin is a little bit low, calcium tends to be a little low.
Yeah.
Now, there is a condition, there are two ways calcium can go wrong. It can be high, and that's hyperparathyroidism, and that's fairly common. Less common is hypoparathyroidism, which could be due to vitamin D deficiency, but in this case, it's not. Vitamin D is not deficient. She has a good level of vitamin D, but there are other conditions which can cause hypoparathyroidism. The other thing is sometimes, overzealous hydration can dilute the blood and sometimes cause some things to be erroneously low.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to look at the whole thing. I think, one of the downsides of the democratization of medical information is that everybody gets a portal and they get to look at their blood tests, and then they don't even have to memorize the ranges, which I mostly have internalized. They can see on the report that this is high, this is low, whatever. And that's alarming. That's, it's like Sometimes it's in red. It's like, oh my goodness, like by this is high, by that is high. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is a concern. I'm not trying to diminish the possibility that these are alarming, but it has to be interpreted by a medical professional to make sense and to put it in proper context. So, for example, an athletic person might do a very heavy workout and then come in and have abnormal liver function tests.
Mm-hmm.
And that could, oh my goodness, you know, do I have hepatitis? Do I have liver cancer? Do I have, you know, fatty liver? But it could be just take it easy, don't work out, and repeat the test. And then those liver function tests are sometimes also a function of muscle stress. Mm-hmm. They are also reflected by muscle inflammation and muscle breakdown. So, this actually happened to me in the hospital once. I wasn't in the hospital. I was a trainee in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was at Montefiore Hospital. And a guy came in, and he was a young African-American guy, very strong. And he came in. I'm not sure why he came in, but he came in and we did a bunch of tests on him. And we thought, oh my God, this guy's having a heart attack. And it turned, you know, we did all kinds of tests on him. We find out he wasn't having a heart attack. And then when we did a little more history, he said he had been in a fight and he had been, you know, so he'd been like, had a lot of bruises and contusions and muscle damage from the fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that caused an elevation in his muscle enzymes, which can be confused with the heart muscle enzymes, which is a sign of
Heart.
So anyway, these are the nuances of reading blood tests. They have to be taken in context. And You've got to know the history of the patient too. You can't just read them blind and say, oh, this person's got that person's got this. You have to have a little bit of history to contextualize these things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jerry, there you go. All right. Another situation, only because I podcasted about today, it's not going to drop until towards the end of August. However, I talked about pharmacy, you know, prescription-induced deficiencies in magnesium. I talked about certain antibiotics. I talked about proton pump inhibitors and diuretics. But another thing that was mentioned, that I mentioned, that I talked about, is if you're very, very, very low in magnesium, That could also drag down your calcium number.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, see, you have to be quite low.
And that's why we don't just want to give calcium alone, is that magnesium may be important in the uptake of calcium.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Jerry, there you go. As it turns out, you need a workup. Either way, you need a workup.
Does it sound self-serving that I'm a medical professional and I say, you need to see a medical professional?
Yeah.
You can't really completely take your health in your own hands. It's useful, as savvy as you may be, to get, some help. You know, the old expression is, he who hath himself for a doctor hath a fool for a doctor.
Right. And you have to remember, this is a podcast. This isn't a place for doing any kind of medical assessments or nutritional assessments or anything like that. Yeah.
And we do have a disclaimer on that, is that, you know, for any medical issue, you know, you should seek medical assistance.
Absolutely.
Because we do not purport to diagnose, treat, or, evaluate a disease condition. We can certainly just give a range of possibilities.
Yeah. All right. We've got a question here from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Leila. Have you ever treated patients with microscopic colitis with bismuth, which is Pepto-Bismol, you know, the pink stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bismuth. The only thing that helps, and only for a month or so, is budesonide. But even though it's purported not to have systemic effect and only reduce intestinal inflammation, I'd rather not continue taking it. And my gastroenterologist did suggest bismuth. So I found the study. It was a very small study. It was 13 people. Most of them did well. It was safe to take for about 8 weeks and well tolerated. But is it a cure? No.
Well, this is an interesting question because, first of all, microscopic colitis is a relatively newly recognized entity. It used to be you were either fined or you had ulcerative colitis.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, you know, bleeding and it's very red and inflamed. But there is along this continuum from perfectly fine to, you know, actually ulcerations in your intestine, to what's called microscopic colitis, which means that it, on gross appearance, it doesn't appear too bad. The tissue looks pink and normal. But if you take a biopsy, you'll see an infiltration of lymphocytes, which is a sign of some inflammation. So it's microscopic because you have to use a microscope to look at the tissue sample and find that out. Now, it is thought that irritable bowel syndrome is, first it was thought, this is a psychological disease. You know, it's just you're stressed out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So for some people, no question, it's a factor. Then there's food intolerance, all right? You know, eating the wrong food's a problem. Then there is, you know, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, a lot of ways that you can generate gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea. But you can have a form of IBS, which causes a lot of symptoms, you know, pain, cramping, where you have microscopic colitis. Mm-hmm. And this is a newly recognized. And so it is sometimes treated with steroids. Now, the problem with taking a prednisone is that it has systemic effects. It causes elevated blood sugar, cataracts. You know, it will increase your blood pressure, you know, bad things, you know, break down your muscle, increase your fat, all this bad stuff. And so they use what's called enteric-coated steroid, which is budesonide, which supposedly just breaks down in your intestine and doesn't get absorbed systemically. Well, the problem is it does get absorbed a little bit systemically. So you do get some slight steroid side effects from it, but less. Cataracts, too, is another side effect.
Wow.
So, you know, it would be nice to find an alternative to budesonide. Budesonide will put the fire out, reduces inflammation. And so bismuth is antimicrobial. What? You know, we know because if you've got a tummy ache, you know, like a food poisoning, it's not a bad thing to take.
Yeah.
You know, that's Pepto-Bismol. Okay.
Yeah.
And specifically, the latest finding that I read is that it works on the bacteria that produce hydrogen sulfide, which is a source of
rotten egg smell.
Rotten egg smell, exactly. So you know, it's trivial to say, well, take Pepto-Bismol if you have like you know, smelly flatulence or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have, you know, a form of dysbiosis where it's indicated you might have excess hydrogen sulfide, where actually some newer tests are able to reveal it. It used to be we test for two gases, hydrogen gas, and we also test for methane. But a newer, some of the newer tests or breath tests can test for hydrogen sulfide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, try it, see if it works. It might help. Problem is that you can't take bismuth for a really long time because you actually can get bismuth toxicity.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michael says, I've already tried supplements and a FODMAP diet without much results.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are other, you know, natural anti-inflammatories, you know, I don't know which supplements he's tried. I like,
we like, curcumin, we like boswellia.
Immunoglobulin, SBI, it's called. Is that what you just said? SBI?
No. That's great. I was saying boswellia and, curcumin.
Sure.
Maybe some enteric-coated fish oil.
Sure.
Dr. Hoffman, do you remember a product called C-Cure?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That white fish protein, that was also very interesting. Yeah. And Michael, you say you did a FODMAP diet, but I'm wondering if you wouldn't benefit from the specific carbohydrate diet, which is more indicated for colitis. I know it's microscopic colitis, but it may still be a benefit. It's like it helps to take care of that intractable diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really worth a try. And it does allow some carbohydrates. I mean, even sometimes temporarily moving to a virtually a keto or carnivore diet can be healing to the gut. And the good news is it's microscopic. I mean, you don't even have like craters, you know, where bleeding and, you know, anemia occurs. And it's a much milder form of an inflammatory bowel disease than colitis or Crohn's disease. Yeah. So, you know, you could do well. Is there a possibility that something like colostrum could have a healing effect? Well, SBI is more of it's a little bit like colostrum-like effect with immunoglobulins that have a healing effect on the gut wall. These are some of the things that may work. Glutamine sometimes is helpful. There's also, what's interesting too, is that for colitis, there's some interesting research. I haven't really tried this much, but there's some interesting research on indigo. You know, what they used to make old fashioned blue jeans with.
Yeah.
Indigo, you have to be careful with indigo because it can be toxic, but there are forms of traditional Chinese medicine that incorporate indigo. And the research is actually pretty robust for healing, especially ulcerative colitis, less Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Michael, there's some places for you to start. Okay. Hope you feel better soon. Thank you for your question. All right. Let's see here. We've got a question from Karen from the United Kingdom.
All right. That's great to hear that we have listeners worldwide.
Yeah. I have been recommended to take evening primrose oil and black currant oil due to low GLA and DGLA. And I recently started taking about 500 to 1,000 milligrams daily of evening primrose oil. However, I read that EPO, evening primrose oil, also has at least one downside as a GLA supplement. It's known for increasing prostaglandin levels in general.
Yeah.
And that can increase pain levels and aggravate menstrual cramps. The reason for this is that prostaglandins stimulate muscles in the uterus to shed and the uterine, you know, lining. Yeah. It seems to be reducing the pain, but it may not be good to take if you're estrogen dominant. And also,
we're getting kind of wonky here. So let's just break it down. Most of the anti-inflammatory oils are omega-3s. There's EPA. True. And there's DHA and DPA, if you want to break it down. Then there's also ALA, which is the vegetarian precursor that the body can sometimes biotransform into EPA and DHA.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that these are anti-inflammatory. And then there's this whole argument the omega-6 oils are all bad, that oils that you get, seed oils, which are rich in omega-6, which is alpha-linolenic acid.
Yes.
That's an essential fatty acid, but it's a not good essential fatty acid, supposedly, because omega-6 is pro-inflammatory, omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. That is a little bit, unnuanced, because there's some evidence that omega-6, you can actually have an omega-6 deficiency.
True. Alpha-linolenic acid. As opposed to alpha-linolenic acid.
Alpha-linolenic is omega-3.
Yeah.
And alpha-linolenic is omega-6. But omega-6s can be preferentially shunted into anti-inflammatory pathways. These are precursors to what are called the leukotrienes, which are chemical messengers that are either pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory.
And just the same, Dr. Hoffman, there are pro-inflammatory prostaglandins and anti-inflammatory prostaglandins as well. Prostaglandin is hormone. It's, you know, there you could have either the good kind or the bad kind, so to speak. The good kind is helped with the GLA.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I think the research is pretty strong that there is a benefit for dysmenorrhea with borage oil. I prefer to primrose oil because borage oil is more potent, and there's also black currant seed oil.
Black currant oil, seed oil as well. Yeah, these are the beneficial omega-6s. She also says, Karen also says, I've read also that EPO may be good for bones, the immune system, infections. I've dealt with antibiotic-resistant infections for a long time, and bone issues from two failed root canals. And I started taking EPO, and it seems to be helping.
Yeah.
Do you think it's helpful for bones and infections?
Well, you know, anything that is an anti-inflammatory could have a multi-system effect and could have
whole body effect, right?
Yeah, whole body benefits. Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like her situation a little complicated, and she may benefit. I mean, I would say for this kind of person, I would say balanced supplementation with omega-3 and some of the beneficial omega-6s like GLA and DGLA. Mm-hmm. That could be good.
That could be good. All right. There you go, Karen. Thanks for writing us.
Indeed.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Mm-hmm. And in part two, give us a preview of what we're going to tackle.
Okay. I have a high blood urea nitrogen and carbon dioxide is low. Do I have a kidney problem?
You've been reading those blood tests again. Okay. We'll interpret that when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin. Hey, Layla, did you know, can you imagine if there was a place where you could reliably buy supplements without worry that your supplements had been sitting on a shelf for 2 years, or that they were adulterated or even counterfeit, maybe just some rice flour with a, fancy label stuck on them with no potent ingredients inside. Wouldn't that be amazing if there were such a place you could go to?
But there is. It's the Full Script Dispensary.
Indeed. I'm setting you up for that. That's what's called, in baseball, they call that a high hanging curveball that they serve to hitters at the home run derby. So hit it out of the park, Layla. Tell us about it.
Oh my God. You could shop hundreds of curated vetted supplements in Dr. Hoffman's Full Script Dispensary, drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements that Dr. Hoffman takes, prescribes to his patients, I also take those supplements. Buying through Full Script offers fast free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, it's secure, and includes world-class customer service. So,
indeed. Yeah. And, when I get home, I got to check what supplements I'm out, because I'm going to make a whole bunch of supplements. I make them 1 week at a time. And when I run out, I put them on the shelf, and then I sit down on the sofa and look over on the shelf and just order up a new batch. And within a day or two, they materialize ultra fast. So,
fantastic.
Good stuff. All right. When we return, more of today's Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Robert Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.